can. I'll keep it on. I may pull it off. Got some scripture I want to read in the book of Jeremiah and also in the book of Philippians. A lot of things going on. It's already been said. We've had several dear members of our church go and be with the Lord. And if we look at what's happened over the past year, the loss of, at this point, loss of deacons, loss of founding members, loss of great people that just are pillars in the church that serve the Lord so faithfully. You know, and honestly, sometimes I begin to think about it, the events and how quick and sometimes things happen, and it gets to be heavy. As I look around this morning, I can say that I praise the Lord to see so many of you that are back in the house of the Lord. Amen. I'd start calling your names out, but I would be afraid I would miss somebody, but I'm glad to see you. Amen. Go ahead. Amen. Yes. Great to see so many of you. You know, sometimes I say, Lord, when I'm praying, I pray for people and I pray for those that have been sick. You go to the hospital and you pray over them, or you talk to them on the phone, or you pray at home. But we don't know the mind of God, and we don't know what God's plan is. But sometimes we here that remain, we try to figure it out, and sometimes you just can't. And I begin to think this past week, as I had so many things on my mind, it just came to my heart and mind, some of the documentaries that I've watched about World War II. And I watched one time about storming the beaches of Normandy. When those gates opened on those boats that were coming onto the shore. And those young men would have to jump out of those boats and run up onto that beach. And I've often thought about what it would have been like to be a chaplain in the army, knowing as you prayed with so many of those young men on that boat, they wouldn't be coming back. Now, if we stop and think about it, you know, I've done a lot of funerals at the church this year. I've done funerals this year for people that are not members of our church. I told my wife, I said, they're probably going to go ahead and tell me just to leave and go be a pastor down there where I work, because I tell them, I just don't ask them. I just send them a note. I'm going to be off so-and-so day. I'm going to do a funeral. If they don't like it, I'm going to do it anyway. But I thought about what it would be like to be a chaplain during World War II and to have the weight of all that, because I want you and I to understand. I'm gonna try to get into the scripture. I got more than I can preach. I'm not going to be able to preach it all, but I will quit eventually. God knew and He understands, and He knew what those men were going to be faced with, and He knew what would come in our day, that we would have 2 years at this point of dealing with the events of COVID and the events on our economy and on our lives. And He knows what's in the future, but I want you to understand this morning that God's not changed, God's not dead, and He's not left us, and the future that He has for the children of God still remains strong. I thought about Brother Phil. Brother Phil sat right over here with Miss Kathy. I've known Brother Phil and Sister Kathy a long time. Now, they members of this church, but they are like y'all. If I wasn't a pastor, y'all probably wouldn't know me. Because when we come to an event and I get over in the corner, they say, what's wrong with him? That's just me. I get in the pulpit and I can't be quiet. But if I go to a meeting somewhere, I'm awkward. And I get behind my wife. She's not. But Brother Phil and Miss Kathy were saints and dear people. They love God. Some of you may not have developed a relationship with them. But I questioned God. I said, I don't understand. You ever prayed a prayer and wanted it a certain way and God didn't move the way you wanted? And I said, God, I don't understand. And it's almost like God spoke to me. And he said this to me in his spirit. He said, what if I just showed him a glimpse of heaven? He wanted to go with me. Think about that for just a minute. We're not going to be here forever. There's going to come a time for every one of us that we're going to stand before God. You need to be saved if you're not. But there's going to come a time that God, through the spiritual realm, is going to open the door. He's going to let you see what Paul saw that he couldn't even write about. And I can just about see Phil being sick, seeing it. And he wants to go. You got your Bible. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter number 12. And for just a few minutes, I want to preach on this subject, pressing on. I think people need to understand. Now's not the time to stop. Now's not the time to quit. Now's the time to press on for the honor and glory of God. This is some scripture I want to read that Brother Larry Hart and I have been talking about a lot. He's been teaching about it. And then we're going to come over to Philippians. I may not be able to read all this. I've got a lot here, but I'll just try to follow the Lord and keep moving. It says in the first verse, it says, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? And we question that today. It said, wherefore are all they happy that deal treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root, and they grow, and yet they bring forth fruit, and thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, Lord, O Lord, knowest me, thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn, and the herds of every field wither, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. And here's the response. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how shalt thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they have wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. Now I want to flip over from there, and I want to go to the New Testament, to Philippians, and I want to read some scripture where Paul himself is struggling. You see, in the scripture we just read, we're reading a struggle of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is struggling as he looks at the world, and he looks at the wickedness of the world, and he said, God, I don't understand why the wickedness of this world continues to be allowed and to go on and on. You ever heard anybody say, if God's God, and then they go on and they say, then why this? That's basically what Jeremiah was doing. And the Lord told him, Jeremiah, you hadn't seen it all yet. You need to learn. You need to listen to me. Well, when you come over to Philippians and you come to the third chapter, you begin to see Paul dealing with some of the same things. The same things that you and I deal with when we look around us at the world, and God begins to speak to us. What he wants us to do is to understand, to trust him, that he ain't changed a bit. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 1, Paul wrote, he said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things unto you indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. And then he says this about this same world. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision or the mutilators. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoiced in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, Paul said, I more. And here's what I want you to understand. Paul, when he was called by God, he was already involved in religion. But he wasn't involved in a relationship with God. And that's what he's saying in these next few verses. He said, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. What he's saying here is being religious is not where it's at. You got to have a personal relationship with God. From the standpoint of this world, Paul would have gained more in this world to stay right where he was at, doing what he was doing. He said, but I'm pushing all of that aside so that I can follow Jesus Christ. It said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. You get that? The fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. And he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended or to have attained. Here's what he's saying. I know I'm reading a lot of words out of the King James Bible here. He said, but I hadn't got there yet. Neither have you. And you're not going to get there by yourself. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto him. Here's what he said through all of those verses. He said, I was educated, I was raised to be religious, a Pharisee, but I didn't know God. And when he met God on the road to Damascus, and he became, went from being a persecutor of a church to a preacher, just a short period of time, he said, I had to decide what I was going to do and what was going to be important to me. And then he begins to talk in these verses. He talks about the things that he faced. And I want us just to walk through this because I want to try to cover some of this. But I want you to understand that Paul experienced it. Jeremiah experienced it. And you and my day, in the time that we're living in, we're going to experience it. You see, Paul faced opposition. And he needed encouragement. And he says in this verse 2, he says, beware of dogs. In this context, this is a term for the ones who are basically, they're out to get you. People that are out to hurt you, they're against you, they seek to destroy you. And, you know, I'm kind of one of those people that if I'm the FedEx driver and you got a dog, your package is thrown out the window. I'm not a dog person, okay? Now, I believe Emily's dog, what's his name, Russell? I said your dog's name from the pulpit. Russell would probably still bite me. You ever been around people like that? They devour you. Don't you just enjoy traffic? Don't you just enjoy the road rage that's out there? Paul said this in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. And this was after he had decided to serve God. He said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work. Now I want to go ahead and tell you, if you're here and you're deciding whether or not you're really going to serve God, if you've got friends that are not Christians, don't think when you decide you're going to serve God, they're going to be happy about it. They're probably going to come against you. And the truth is, most of the time, it's those of your own family. You know, you can live with them and know them for 30 or 40 years, turn over your life to God and get right with God, and they're not going to accept that Jesus Christ has come into your heart. They're going to bring up every wrong thing you ever did. You know why they do that? It's because it allows them to feel right in the wickedness that they're living in today. Here's all you got to do is say, yes, I was wrong, but I've met Jesus. Now, what's your excuse? That's all you got to do. And let them deal with it. Then he says this, beware of the concision. Now, this is talking about those during Paul's day that would not accept the grace of God. They wanted to go back and everything be done under the law, and it had to be done this way and this way and this way, and they would not live by faith, walk by faith, and they would not accept Jesus. I want to tell you, in our day today, there's still some of that. You know, in the book of Luke, chapter number 9, the disciples came to Jesus, and they said, Lord, we saw him casting out devils in your name, and we forbade them because they did not walk with us. He said, forbid them not, for those that are not against us are for us. Can I tell you, there's people out there today that may not be Baptist, but they're still Christian. And if they're saved by the grace of God, we need to be working together for the kingdom of God and lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. I don't argue the Bible with people. If I can help them and it gets to the point, I just tell them, look, if I can help you, I'm going to help you. But if not, I got other things to do. I'm not going to argue the Bible. I know what I believe. I know whom I have believed and trusted in. And I'm persuaded, like Paul said, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I remember one time a guy wanted to argue me down about my type in. And I just looked at him. Now, folks, I was young then. I was just, you know, maybe 21 or 22 years old, and he's supposed to be an elder. And I said, well, what's the problem with a tie pin? He said, that's decoration. And he's standing there in front of me with a tie on. I said, well, what's a tie? He just looked at me. You know what we ought to do? We ought to try to get people to see Jesus. I heard a little boy one time went to church with his granddaddy, and he sat up here, and he said he'd come back the next Sunday, and he sat up here. They come to church a couple of weeks later, and the pastor wasn't there, and he looked up on the wall. There was a picture. He said, Grandpa, who's that picture of that man up there on the wall? He said, well, son, that's Jesus. He said, well, I never could see him because the preacher was always standing in the way. Let's make sure what message we're giving. Write it down, statement. Beware of men with strong convictions and little compassion. You see, Paul faced opposition, and if you look at verses 4 through 6, Paul encouraged himself in the Lord. Preached on encouragement a couple of weeks ago, and I used this verse. I want to read it to you again. It's out of the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse number 6. And it talks about a time similar to what I talked about a minute ago. Could you imagine being a chaplain in the army? Could you imagine being the king when men are dying and people around you are saying, we just don't understand, and they came against David. And David was greatly distressed, and the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons, for his daughters. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. Have you ever had to encourage yourself in the Lord? Have you ever just got down and say, Lord, I'm heavy. My heart's heavy. Lord, I'm facing all these things. God, I don't understand. But one thing I know for sure and without a shadow of a doubt, God, is you're there. You're real. There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to turn. There's no other God. There's no other Father. And you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. We also see that as Paul moved on through this scripture that he acknowledged his new life and his hope in Christ. You see, for you and I as Christians, we must keep that as the center of our focus and understand that when you're saved by the grace of God, and especially if you get saved and you realize that you're going to completely go a different direction. Brother Tommy, when you got saved, your friends changed, didn't they? Brother Billy, they didn't want to hang around you anymore, did they? I want to tell you something, young people. Who you hang around is going to determine what's in your heart. You can't just go and, like the scripture says, you can't run with dogs and not have fleas. They're not going to be comfortable. I remember when I was in high school, I never got invited to the parties. Of course, I was preaching in the ninth grade. They didn't want nothing to do with it. And I was already awkward. But it changes. And all through my life, I found that when my testimony is right with the Lord, the world is uncomfortable around it. You see, in the rest of the scripture, verse 12 to 13, what Paul did is he encouraged himself to press on. And he said this, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. One day, God's going to call my name. And he's going to call your name. They sang a song a minute ago about Lazarus, and can you just about see Jesus standing outside the tomb? It's kind of like when I have a wedding rehearsal. My wife says, now you be careful and don't say, I pronounce you man and wife at a wedding rehearsal, because if they've got a marriage license and you're a preacher, they'll be married a day early. And I'm always conscious of that. Sometimes I actually get me a highlighter. Jesus stood before the tomb and he was there and Lazarus was inside. And if he'd have said, children, come forth, we'd have all went home to be with God. But he said, Lazarus, one day he's going to call my name. One day he's going to call your name. But there's going to come a time that he's going to come in the clouds. And those who are dead in Christ, he's going to bring with him. And he's going to say, children, come forth. And we which are alive and remain, the scripture says, will be caught up together to meet them with the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Paul was looking forward to that calling. And even though he was persecuted, he was ridiculed, he dealt with opposition, he knew that he had made the right choice. And he was so committed to standing for God that he did something that a lot of people maybe wouldn't feel comfortable doing. I'm not sure I would. In the verse 16 and 17, he says, follow me. Do you know you're going the right way enough that you can say, follow me? You see, in the 17th verse, he says, brethren, be followers together of me. And mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. You know, my heart's desire for Hiram First Baptist Church is that we would be that. We would be that example to a world. And when we stand and we have situations in our life that present difficulty, when we have loss that we don't understand, when we have trouble, when we have prayers that maybe don't go the way that we want them to go, we can stand in our faith and in our relationship with God, and the world could look at us and all the honor, all the glory would go to God. Remember, it's not about us, it's about Him. Now, I want us to consider our opportunity to press on. For you and I, we need to press on or keep on in spite of some things. You know, you're going to have powers that oppose you. Do you know that the devil's against you? I've had people come and stand and talk to me and they say, why is it that the more I try to serve God, it seems like the more that comes against me? The more difficulty. You know, I have people come up to me every Sunday and they talk about how the devil tried to keep them from coming to church this morning. And I'll tell you that usually, I'm going to say on a given Sunday morning, it's at least three or four different people that mention something like that to me. Well, here's why. The scripture says in Peter's writing that the devil walketh about as a roaring lion seeking them he may devour. But the scripture goes on to say, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing these same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The reason you're battling the devil, the reason he's against you, is because you are doing something for God. When you come in here, it's different than what's outside in this world. The Holy Spirit is in charge in this place. God is in charge in this place. This is God's house. It's a sanctuary. And if Satan can keep you from coming, he's done more than selling 10 gallons of liquor down here at the liquor store. You're going to have powers that are going to come against you. And recognize as a Christian, I talk to Brother Allen about this a lot. Brother Allen, you got a radar on your back. Enemy's going to come against you. We talk about it. Brother Rick, we talk about it. We know that the testimony that we have, it means something. And the Bible teaches us that unto whomsoever much is given, much is going to be required of them. I could run a rabbit right there, but I got to get back on here. You've got powers that are opposing you. You know, you got people that are against you. Some people, they're not going to support you and they're not going to forgive you. God can save your soul. God can clean you up. He can heal all the diseases. And I want to tell you, there are more diseases that affect the mind and the body than just cancer. When God gets a hold of you and he delivers you from alcoholism, or he delivers you from drug addiction, or we've even had people stand in this church and give testimony that are involved in walking the streets and selling themselves for life just so that they can live, that lived under bridges, and people look at them. I want to tell you, it's the same grace of God that delivers them that delivered you when you were 12 years old in the Sunday school class. And if you're saved, you're saved. Old things are passed away. And all things have become new. How can you and I, that are under the grace of God, not give that same grace to every person that God has put his hand on? Paul faced that. Paul faced problems. We deal with those problems. You know, we deal with issues of sickness, of COVID-19. Work-related stress. It could be not having a job, or it could be having a job that's killing you. I remember one time back in 2010, and we were in Sunday school, and I had a huge Sunday school class, and I was under so much pressure at work just trying to keep the business from going out of business, I was having problems. I was getting sick. I'd get up at night and I'd go into the bathroom and I'd pass out. One time I passed out and hit my head on the toilet and I didn't wake up for a while. Had to go to the doctor. I was too young for that. Stress was killing me. It was so bad I stood up before the Sunday school class and I wanted to ask for their prayer, but I hated to ask for prayer because I had 20-25% of the people in the class were under a different kind of stress because they didn't know how they were going to pay their house payment because they didn't have a job. There's work on both sides. Family problems. Church, I want to tell you something that touches my heart. We got people in this church that faithfully serve God. But they weep at night for their children. They weep for a young man that won't get off the drugs. They weep for a daughter that won't listen to the things that they're saying. They weep for a mama or a daddy that they've been trying to witness to that won't hear the things that are pouring out their heart to them. I want to tell you something, but they come in here and they faithfully serve. They get involved and they work in this church. And when I hear about it, I want to tell you, my heart goes out. Got to press on. We don't talk about people's stuff. It's up to them to tell it. But when I see people serving God faithfully, knowing what they're battling, I want to tell y'all something. That gives the devil a black eye. It does. It does a whole lot more when you press on and serve God than when you get so much under the burden that you say, I just can't get out of bed this morning. Or when you force yourself to get up and you walk on trusting and serving God, it's just like what's said in the book of Psalms where he keeps all the tears in their bottle and it's poured out on their head. It gives God power. What about disappointments? We've all faced them. Failures. Let me tell you something. The only kind of failure that'll stop you is the one you are not willing to press on beyond. If I quit every time I had a failure, I'd just quit. I wouldn't be here today. But I want to say this to you, and I'm going to move on. Failure is not a person. It's not who you are. Failure is an event. It's an event. Every person, me, your deacon leadership, your Sunday school teachers, have had some type of failure in their life. But I want you to understand something I know about God, who is omniscient, is He knows everything about us, and He still loves us. He knew that was going to happen before it ever happened. And He's not surprised. That's what amazes me. And sometimes God has to remind me of that and say, God, do you see what's going on down here? He say, son, I knew it was going to happen. He said, I knew it was going to happen when that scripture over in Hebrews was penned where it said it is impossible for God to lie. And then He reminds me, I've still got this. I want to give you a few things and I'll be done. I want you to press on because of some things. You know, sometimes when I think about my life and I think about pressure and I think about stress and I think, well, if it was just me, I'd do this. But it's not just me. I can't go off somewhere and stick my head in the sand and everything change. I've thought, I could be a hermit. I'd be like that guy up there that they had to dig out of the mountains. It took them forever to find. There's so many things I don't like dealing with. So many things I don't like experiencing. But we need to press on because of some things. What about our little ones? What about our youth? What about our children and our grandchildren? You see, children need someone to follow, and they need to hear the Word of God. I had a person tell me in Celebrate Recovery, they said, the reason some people come to this church is because they need to hear something that's real. They don't need to hear a watered-down message of everybody's all right, you're okay, I'm okay. Everybody gets a participation award. You know where we're at today. They need something that's real to follow. And for you and I as the children of God and Christians, we need to give them an example. Our little ones, and somebody's watching. You see, the lost need a witness, and they understand what it means to be saved, which is this. The Bible says in the second chapter of Ephesians that we are quickened by the Holy Spirit. That means made alive. And if you get saved by the grace of God, changes are going to happen in your life. You're going to be made alive by the Holy Spirit, and you're going to go places, and you're going to take God with you, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you, and He's going to let you know that you're in the wrong place. He's going to let you know when you're wrong. He's going to let you know when things in your life aren't right. And we need to press on because the world needs to see something that's real, and they need real heroes. Not perfect people, but real people. Who won't quit when it gets difficult, who won't quit when it gets tough, and even won't quit when they fail. People like Peter. You need to press on because somebody needs to lean on you. You see, somebody needs a witness of someone who didn't quit. Somebody needs a witness of someone who has suffered. Maybe what you've suffered. You know, I'm a preacher, and y'all know I love to preach, and I'm going to be done in just a minute, I promise. But there are things that my wife's went through that allows her to comfort people and help them, Brother Billy, that I can't. There's things that you've been through, Brother Billy and Brother Tommy and Brother Rick, that allow y'all to minister to people in ways that I can't. And the truth is we look around this church and we look at every person here has a testimony. And if somebody comes to you, you don't have to be able to quote the verses that I quote. You tell them what you know. You tell them what God has done for you. And you'll be able to help somebody in Jesus' name. And this, I want you to know, this is the last one. We're going to ask them to play the song. Is you need to press on because God is for you. Jesus, the whole 17th chapter of John, Jesus Christ prayed for his children, knowing he was not going to be left on this earth that long. But he prayed for his children. And I want you to know right now, today, Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you to God. And the devil can't touch you without going through him. And here's the great part. And this is why we press on. When God the Father looks at you and me, he don't see me like I am. He don't see me as I stand here, just a sinner saved by grace. All my bumps and all my warts. But he sees me through the veil of Jesus Christ. Because the blood has been applied to my life. And he sees me, God the Father, sees me through Jesus as precious. That's how God sees you. Now we're going to play a song by the Perrys. It says, Press On. As they play this song, if you want to pray, I want to tell you, I've had to do some praying this week. They play this song, if you want to pray, the altars of Hiram First Baptist Church are open. And I'll tell you something we need to do as a family of God. When you see somebody that's under a load, when you see somebody that's carrying a burden, ye which are one another. Yes. Infirmities feel like the altars that are weak. Yes. So we pray for one another. Yes. I just feel like the altar needs to be full this morning. Yes. They play this song, if you would rise to your feet. If God spoke to your heart, would you please come?
Are you tired and distressed, weary saint in need of rest? There are storms you must walk through.
I want to thank you for coming this morning. I want you to know that God has a plan for you. God has a plan for this church. God has a plan for our futures. Sometimes as we see things changing, sometimes so fast, you know what we try to do? We try to understand things that God understands. And I try to get a hold of it, and sometimes my mind gets to racing, and I can't. Then God reminds me, maybe rather than trying to understand everything, I just need to have faith. Amen.